Hey everyone, welcome to the Trading Success Podcast. Here today with Chris Devoy from ContraCo. We're going to be running over things that are going to ensure that you get paid every time from your jobs. We're going to be talking around how do you make sure that you get paid for variations and how we can make sure that you as a business owner is protected if anything safety-wise goes wrong on the job. Welcome to the show, Chris.
G'day. Welcome everyone. Nice to meet
you, Drew. Yeah, so good to have you here, man. Yeah. We actually did a recording before, but we had a problem with the recording and never actually happened. So I'm super pumped to be back and jumping into these very important things that people have to know as business owners. So thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Tell us a little bit about how you got into, you know, being passionate about, you know, making sure people were protected by having good policy and procedures in place.
Yeah, I got majorly into helping subcontractors as I was a subcontractor for 25 years or so on major government projects and projects for tier one and tier two builders around Australia in general. I had a really good contract knowledge. I had been sort of working in the early 90s when contracts became, you know, really full on, I suppose, like a lot of liability was placed on the subbies. And I guess I evolved with the whole litigious system around construction. In the 80s, it was real handshake agreements, and you'd give your brother the job and he'd give his cousin the job and whatever. It was like just an easy place to work, but that all changed in the 90s, and I guess I evolved with that. And managing a lot of these contracts, I thought I was a bit of a ninja when it came to contract management up until the start of 2012, when I got hit and not paid nearly $1 million on one project, and that was the first time I'd never been paid, and it cost me dearly. So I wanted to sort of do something to help subbies out.
Yeah, and you know, that's sort of a loss. We could work for 20 years for, you know, $50,000, you know, net profit every year on top of our wages, and then a 1 million sting at 20 years later, and you lose all of your profit for those whole 20 years.
Yeah,
you know, so
that's right,
massive. Yeah, it must have been devastating for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously passionate about making sure others don't have to go through that pain that you went through. So I'm so glad you're here. Let's dive into, like, what people can do to ensure that they get paid on every single job. So what are some of the mistakes you see? What are some of the things that you see that people are, you know, high risk? You see something, oh, my God, you're at a high risk of potentially not getting paid from someone.
Well, I guess from the outset, it's not taking on jobs by feeling financial pressure that you have to take it on and getting squeezed out of actually making a profit. It's worth, you're better off sitting at home and going broke than spending money and employing a whole bunch of people and putting them at risk by working on those sort of projects to start with. But then it's understanding the contract that you're involved with and understanding the small things that can make a big difference during the project. And that's even as simple as knowing what dates to put a progress claim in and knowing what other documentation is required to be submitted with those progress claims, so that you're doing everything in compliance to that contract. Because when it push comes to shove, it's the non-compliance that you're actually exposing yourself to. So if you put a claim in on the 28th and you've done it for the last 4 months, but the actual progress claim was due on the 25th, it might be just that month that the builder hasn't got the cash, and he'll pick you out and say, sorry, you don't get paid because you didn't put your claim in on time. Really simple little things like that. It's dotting your I's and crossing your T's when it comes to the contract obligations, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's massive. And I always push our academy members to make sure that they're progress claiming weekly, and in their agreements, they've got a weekly progress claim. The payment terms might be 28 days after end of month, but progress claim weekly, for one, you've got to be able to forecast for how you're going in the month, whether you need to do extra work or find extra ways to be, you know, breaking even or making a profit.
Sure.
Secondly, you want to make sure that you don't accidentally get too busy and you miss out on that deadline, and now you're a whole month's worth of work and you have to wait another month to get paid. See, so many people get screwed by that, hey?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah, you're already, you know, 45 days into it because you're paying staff to be on site. You've done a month's worth of work. You're paying guys, you know, weekly, and then you're on longer terms. So whatever you can do to negotiate better terms at the start of the job is always good. Negotiating, you know, even down to what sort of retentions are put on the job, what sort of security you're putting on the job. All those things can be negotiated out. And, you know, the builders are quite open to a lot of that sort of stuff as well, because they can take it to the developer at the end of the day. And there's a bit of a mentality in the market that it's us against them with the builders, you know, the builders and the subbies, sort of they don't necessarily trust each other, which I would like to say through a good process that can be bridged, and that relationship through good reporting, good communication, that those strains aren't in the relationship. If you've got a variation, for an example, and you put the variation through legitimately within time and you do all the right things by the builder, then he's got the right process to go to the developer and say, we need more money because this isn't over. Like, if you don't do it in compliance to the contract, then the builder's got nowhere to go. So it's going to be out of his pocket. And you'll get rejected, like, simple as that.
You'll get rejected, yeah. You get to the end, hundreds of people I've talked to, and they're like, oh, well, we talked about it, you know. I was like, well, have you put it in writing? Has it been signed off?
Yeah.
Oh, no, but we, you know, it's super clear. And he's like, but yeah, we didn't talk about it. I was like, that's the conflict you're having now, just because it wasn't clear, it wasn't put in writing, and there was no process around making sure the variations that you were suggesting need to get done, get done, you know. I've also got builder members as well in the academy who we had to train to understand that if a subcontractor provides you a variation, you don't wear that as a builder. So it goes both ways, right? Because we had a nice guy builder who, you know, was just taking the blow. He's like, fuck, I didn't know there was a variation.
Yeah.
And so he would take that on his margin.
Yeah.
And that's a risk for everyone, because the builder now might not have work in the future if he can't afford to pay his subcontractors and continue to be in business. So it goes both ways, and getting clear from the start, like you're saying, you know, very clear right from the start, you negotiated, it's all on paper, and it seems like a big hassle, doesn't it? But we can simplify those things as well.
100%. And it's a really precise process, but it's the ever-changing environment. Nothing changes, no contract changes more than a building contract or a construction contract. And it doesn't matter if you're building a pergola or, you know, a 100-story apartment. It's a forever changing thing. And the documenting the specification and the scope of works and all of that sort of thing, it's a major must.
Yeah, absolutely protects you.
Both.
Yeah. So that's massive as well. So it's really good to talk around, you know, variations. If we're having them, don't just have a conversation. This goes with clients as well. If you're going direct to client, you know, you need to have those conversations. You need to get them to agree and sign on the additional work. We have so many clients in my electrical company that have just gone like, no, we never agreed on that. You said that's how much was at the start of the job. Why are you charging me an extra $1,000? Oh, because we did all this extra work. It's very clear it wasn't on the quote.
Yeah.
And so, but because in that process, my tradespeople out on site didn't follow the process that we had, you know, then we were backpedaling, trying to get them to pay money when it was never signed off. So the clearer we are the whole way through the job, the better for everyone.
Yeah, that's right. And it becomes hard to be clear on like the bigger commercial jobs. I totally get it. Communicating a change once it occurs down to a site level and having everybody on the site level know precisely what the scope of works is a difficult thing. So being able to communicate and having a regime where you communicate to the site team daily or weekly, it's a must. It's, you know, yes, it's a pain and it costs you to have 10 guys sitting in a room for half an hour, but it's probably the most valuable thing you can do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And if it means that, you know, there's a couple of items that you try to charge for post-job and then the contractor comes back or the builder and they're like, no, we never agreed on that. Now you're having an argument. Now you don't have a builder. Now you don't have the work at all moving forward.
Yeah.
So it affects everything downstream. I think having a good project management system in place where your staff, you agree on the exact steps that need to happen and the project items that need to be completed, and they get checked off with the tradespeople on site. Because we do always see builders and contractors going direct to staff and saying, hey, I just want you to go and do this. And they'll just go and do it thinking that, oh, yes, well, the builder asked me, so I'm just going to do it, right? But they don't actually check off if it was actually on, you know, the specs. It was actually in the project that we're doing. Is it a variation? It's one of the questions we have to drill into our team always. It's like, does it meet standard? Is it extra? Like, what is it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and even to how many days you've got to respond and what you need to do. So a general contract will say, state that you've got 3 days from once you identify a possible variation, you've got 3 days to inform the builder and 3 days to price it. And then before works commence, any work that has commenced on that variation isn't required to be paid. If it's not approved and you go and do the work, it's not an obligation on the builder to pay you for it unless he's signed the dotted line to agree. So it's just process, right? It's a good process for everybody.
I think it gets tricky when, like, I know the business owners out there are going, yeah, I do that every single time. I'm very disciplined with that. I know exactly what I'm doing. The tricky part is when you're hiring staff, getting staff to comply to that the same way you do, with the same emphasis, understanding the cost if you don't. And obviously, the cost could be enormous, you know, and it cuts directly. Any work you do for free cuts directly into your net profit. So people have to understand how to build good processes into those things.
Yeah, and I would give digitization is a massive benefit in that area. Because you can communicate with your boss 300 kilometres away with an image of the site, you know, what the work's requested, and you can, you know, have a discussion amongst yourselves and work out if it is in fact a variation or not, if there's any doubt. So that's just closing out that thing. Every week, if it's part of your reporting regime that you've got to put in a progress report from that particular site, part of that should be, is there any, you know, potential variation work coming up?
Mm. Yeah, so good. Yeah, just bring it to front of mind and like getting people to think outside the box.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, so safety on a job. So what can we do as business owners to protect ourselves? Because usually the contractor or the business owner would be the one that has to say if a staff member gets injured, a staff member does the wrong thing. Man, we had, I just want to share a story around this. We had this massive, trying to prove that someone said that our guys were up on a ladder on a scissor lift when it was elevated. And then we had this thing. I was like, what the fuck? Did that actually happen? Like, we had to talk to our tradie. We're like, what the hell? They're saying you're on a ladder on the scissor lift while it was like 7 meters in the air. And they're like, no, we didn't do it. So like this whole thing of like, no, we saw you do it. So we had to be able to show our process, our safety process, and that we do safety training. And then after that incident of someone accusing us of doing that, we had to then have follow-up process to, you know, having a safety meeting and that you can't put ladders extended on a scissor lift. So anyway, so it was this big ordeal, and everyone in management's just like, what the fuck, did this actually happen?
Yeah.
And how is this even happening? But anyway, so how do we protect ourselves? Because if that was the case and that did happen and someone fell off the scissor lift, the contractor or the business owner would then get targeted, and you've got to protect somehow, have something to say that you've done everything right as a business owner. So I am excited to talk around what are some of the things that business owners can do to ensure safe practices are happening at work.
Yeah. Well, I'll probably take it back to the basics, and that is your swims. So everybody knows what a swims is, and, you know, a lot of people think they're a total pain in the ass. However, a swims is entering your safety plan and the fact that you've actually put a safety plan together with the site's safety plan, with the builder's safety plan. So first and foremost, never submit. And it's crazy. All the commercial builders ask for a pre-populated swims for your company before they've entered the job site. It's, you know, if that's ever asked of you, totally refuse to do it. A swims, you can give them your swims template to ensure that your template is carrying out the safety steps that need to be taken, but it's never to be pre-populated. So it's to be site specific. The first thing that should occur is upon site induction, do the site induction days before you're to start, not 7 o'clock in the morning for your whole team to start at 7:30, because that doesn't allow you to put into practice the due diligence required to get you over the line. If something was to happen, you haven't had the time to properly communicate the safety plan, right? So that the first thing is do the induction a week before, carry out a risk assessment of the site, document your risk assessment that you've actually completed it, and then take it away to populate your swims and make it site specific. Go through all of the steps that you need to take, your step by steps, and put into place your safety measures around reducing that risk. That's the key to it all, is kicking off that swims on someone else's job site with the proper due diligence being taken. And like, there's big examples of people who have put in their swims, you know, done the right thing, put in their swims, everyone signed off on their swims, but just not carried out certain things that you would expect of anyone. And that's like identifying a risk. If you see something that looks dodgy, then it probably is. Speak up and say, hey, I just noticed this occurring. I'm not dobbing anyone in, but, you know, it needs to be addressed. Perfect example is stripping scaffolding out of a building, not having any anchors to the building and leaving the first floor scaffolding up and it collapsing under weight but everybody on that job site saw that there was no anchors onto the building anymore. You know, like a guy died, guy's gone to prison for it, big fines have been had, all that sort of thing. But it all could have been changed if just one out of hundreds of people who would have noticed it just said something about it.
Yeah, I think, and it's like people need to know their place to speak up as well. I think a lot of people just sit in their shell. It's like, well, is that meant to be like that?
Yeah.
But then they don't say anything until after something happens. They're like, yeah, I saw that. And then,
yeah,
you know,
100%.
Yeah. And on that as well, I think you were talking around, you know, making sure, you know, there's your, if you've got the right things in place, you might be able to get out of, you know, manslaughter or murder. Like that's the sort of that's what you get slammed with if something does happen and you haven't done the right thing. So it's so, so important to do. But I hear a lot of people in the audience saying, I don't have time to do that. I'm not making money as it is. How am I going to find the time to get, you know, do a swim on every project, especially small jobs? Like, what's some strategies to actually get it done fast?
Yeah, digitization. That's, you know, what it comes down to. There's, you know, technology is used in so many ways. And for some reason, construction industry is a bit adverse to technology, but it's quick. Like, you can fill out your swims form with voice command on your phone. Like, you can sign it off on your phone. There's no real excuse to speed. One of our clients, he's a large flooring company, probably works across 12 to 14 commercial projects at any given time. And he's got a site manager on every project. He would have 6 or 7 clients, I'd imagine, that he constantly does work for. And he said they've all got an obligation at the beginning. He said they've all got an obligation or want me to fill out this documentation every week on a Thursday. He said, mate, it's literally 30 hours worth of work. So that was his biggest issue. He said, I just don't have the time to run the business and be out to site and be putting out fires all the time. So a lot of what we did evolved around that, and we cut that 30 hours down. Now his reporting time is predominantly done by the guys on the job site filling out, you know, documentation that can be shared. It's been manually put together so it conforms to what the client requires, and he's not having to go out to site to put out the little bits, the little, you know, the little things. He can work on the big things because he's got images, he's got videos, he's got live feeds with every site that he's on, and he can quite confidently go about his business, you know. And it is a hard place to be for every business owner and every subby to have the liabilities that you can face when you've got a big team. Like, you are legally, you know, bound by these contracts and by regulation and legislation, and you've got to spend the time to do it.
Yeah, totally. Cool. Awesome. Well, I'd love to hear about how Contraco can actually help people digitize this process that you're talking about, and how can we make something like that speed the process up for people? And, you know, it's interesting to, you know, to be able to speed it up. It means that you can get all of the stuff that needs to be done so that you don't fall down the line, maybe 1 or 2 years down the track, and you do have a safety incident, or you do get slammed with someone not paying you, and it cuts your 2 years worth of hard work out from under you.
Yeah.
And like, you could end up in jail, literally. So let's talk about how people can, you know, use digitization to be able to make sure this stuff happens.
Sure. Well, what Contraco has done is we've worked through the operational steps for every stakeholder on a project, and that goes from the architect right the way down through to the landscapers and getting certificate of occupancy for the building. We step out for each best practice for each subby, and we do this on our platform, which basically identifies a task that is required of you on a particular day or at a particular milestone. And it'll say, like, have you booked your induction? Yes, I have. When is it? So, you know, 21st of the month. So then it'll send an email saying, 14th of the month, you've got a start date of next week. You've got your induction next week. So it'll give them a reminder. You turn up to the induction, you start filling out your induction documentation in our system, and it prompts every other activity that needs to happen. It says, here's your risk assessment, here's your swims. Like, so we've created all of the templates that you could possibly need on a project, and pre-qualified. So they meet with regulation and legislation. So those documents, as I said earlier, can be populated by voice command on the job site. Everything is set up with permissions. So for an ITP, for example, when you're doing your test plan, you go onto the job site, you evidence, you know, if you're doing waterproofing, that you've met the right depths and falls in your flood testing, and you're just capturing every step of every step required of your trade, basically. And it's basically taking the guesswork out of it. You know when something has to happen, how it has to happen, and you've got the tools to make it happen. And we're evidencing all of that. So it's hard to argue with photos, you know, it's hard to argue. If you put in a progress claim, I can guarantee that on average, 85% of progress claims are paid. Like 85% of the amount claimed are paid across Australia, right? If you were saying, this is what I've done and here's the evidence that I'm up to that particular stage, you've got to fight. It's hard to argue with that. So just having that evidence, photographic evidence, evidence that you've carried out every step and that you're trying to help the builders out, like the safety side of things is all part of that. So by digitizing it, we're taking the guesswork out of it. We're taking, oh, I forgot to do that. I forgot to mention that to him. We're prompting that. So we're really making it like a formatted procedure. And we've put technology behind it. So it's sort of guiding the way, holding everyone's hand through it. And I think that's, you know, that allows subbies to do what they're good at, and that's their trade.
Yeah.
Their trade.
Yeah, so good. No, yeah. So anyone that's looking to get some more information, where can they go?
www.contraco.com.au.
That's C-O-N-T-R-A-C-O.
Yes, that's right. And, yeah, book a demo. We'd be happy to sit down and demonstrate it and show you how it can help your business. Profitability and, you know, safety is key. Making a safe environment for the workers, showing that, you know, you've got a vested interest in their safety is probably paramount these days, I think.
Yeah, totally. Brilliant. Hey, real quick one to end on. Hey, just came up in my mind is, would this be suitable? If we're doing the variations and we're on site, and we're, you know, normally it's a conversation, could a simple thing like turning on the voice recorder like they do on Telstra calls sort of thing, it's like, oh, we're just going to record the call and we're going to talk through the policy and once you've done that, then we'll give you the new phone, like whatever it is. Could we say, all right, cool, are you happy for us to go ahead with the variation? I'm just going to record that, push record. Hey, we're just agreeing that we're going to go ahead with these items. It's going to amount to X amount. Do you agree? Say your name and that you agree. Would that be suitable, do you think?
Yeah, well, it's got the phone's got the, they've got the ability to sign the document on the phone. We would like, yeah, because not everyone, people go no to a voice, you've got to request a voice recording, you know, by law. So, and people might reject that and find it a bit abrasive. So, it's just like, here's the variation submission. You've got your price. There it is, ready to go. If they're really pushed on, well, you're going to start it. You know, we need this done. Say, well, sign the dotted line. Like,
yeah, sure. So quick. Yeah, it's worth you taking the time to just write it up, get it signed, and we're done. Yeah.
But as I said, the variation documents are sitting there ready to go. But in the case of people, you know, doing it manually, yeah, still it's worth writing it up and having it as part of your weekly reporting function from that particular job site or all your job sites. The other, I just want to mention a quick one on remediation works and how big of an issue remediation is in the industry. Across the board, internationally, 7.5% of the cost of construction is in doing remediation works, reworks in some form or another. The main areas of remediation work are things like cladding, waterproofing, and fire services. So my message there is, if everyone gets the communication and the right process happening with a digital format, that remediation works can drop to anywhere to 0.2-0.5%, which 7% in your back pocket, whether it's the subbie or the builder, everyone's losing on these remediation works, right? That factor alone, 7% of a $30 million job's decent sort of coin. So I would say that, fixing our administrative and our processes, our administration processes, is the key to construction going ahead and being, lifting to that upper level, everyone start being more profitable, and not, there's so many companies going out the back door at the moment, and COVID didn't help with that. So fix your processes up is my suggestion. Like, it's key to profitability.
Yeah. People just think they don't have the time to build processes, but the processes create the time. So it's just one of those catch 22 paradoxes, but yeah, you got to do it. Yeah. Cool. All right, Chris. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you got a heap out of today, guys. Reach out to Chris if you want more information, and we'll catch you guys soon.
Great to speak to you, Greg.
Awesome.
Thanks. See you later, everyone.
Mate, that was awesome.